hello there. Don't be alarmed. We're just preparing your listening device for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We do this, of course, by filling your radio with water. Don't worry, we're professionals. Thanks to me, you won't even get wet. You see, I've crammed every appendage of my body into the cracks and crevices of your radio, ensuring an airtight seal. By the way, don't touch your on-off knob. That's a very sensitive area. Anyway, I should remind you, we believe in the buddy system just like diving, so don't listen alone. Call your buddy and tell them that Scuba Radio is about to begin.
We're going to start a new life under the sea.
So, am I going to drown?
Of course not. Just stay calm and let the gentle currents relax your every muscle.
Under the sea. Under the sea.
Did it just get warmer?
There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Where the hell are the sharks?
And now, here's your dive guide for Scuba Radio, Greg the Dive Master.
And welcome. This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master, and we are literally a week away from the DEMA show in Las Vegas. A lot of great stuff going to happen next week as we do our broadcast from the exhibit show floor, give you a little backstage pass to this trade-only event, largest diving event in the world. It's going to be a blast. However, we got a lot to cover this week, and to help me kick it off, I got West Palm Beach Phil on Scuba Radio right now. How you doing, Phil?
I'm doing great. Greetings from West Palm Beach, the drift dive capital of the world, but I'm psyched to go to Vegas.
Exactly. He is. He's going to come out there and help out some of the Scuba Radio crew, be a mermaid wrangler. Who knows? We'll put you to work somehow. Right, Phil?
Can't wait.
But that's next week. So let's focus on what has been happening. Now, you've been doing some traveling outside of West Palm Beach even, right?
Yes. I just got back from Belize. I was on a live aboard in Belize all of last week, and it was fantastic diving, and I'd love to tell you a little bit about it.
Well, please do. I've only been through Belize once. I didn't do any diving. I did some snorkeling. I actually hopped on one of these inflatable tubes and took a little river raft cruise through some of the cave system there in Belize, and that was kind of cool. Did you do any of that kind of stuff, or were you doing ocean diving there in Belize?
It was definitely ocean diving, and we boarded this ship from Belize City, which, gosh, that was really not a nice place. Belize City is blighted. I was so surprised.
Yeah.
You'd think that as the capital, it would have something going on, but you know, that was just a pass-through place to get on the boat and get out of there.
Right.
And, you know, it was, I did 25 dives in 5.5 days. So it was literally eat, sleep, and dive.
Well,
and
that's the way it should be.
That, but,
well, you've never done that before? You've never done that?
No, I'm saying. No, I've said, I don't know if you've ever done that. Of course you have.
Yeah,
you've been on it before.
I've done a few of those liveaboard type adventures, exactly. Man, that's the way to do it. I mean, if you're going to go to a place, especially if you don't want to be in the city, which it doesn't sound like that was a big hit for you, you want to get out in the water and see what they have underwater. So did that make it worth going through some of the plighted areas of Belize City to hop on the boat and get in the water, or what?
It was really great. The only thing I'd say, the Blue Hole, everybody's heard of the Great Blue Hole.
Right.
And it is definitely a dive that I would make my scuba diving friends go to because it's so overrated that if I had to do it, then now you have to do it.
Wait, explain. What do you mean?
Well, it's just a hole, and there's really not a lot going on there. So,
okay.
I had to fly all 700 miles to go there and do it. And it's an 8-minute dive. You go down to about 130 feet. There's a few stalactites or stalagmites. I get them mixed up.
I got you.
But
yeah.
To look at, there's no aquatic life there. And so your air's burned up, you're on air, and then before you know it, you have to go up. And the visibility was, 30 or 40 feet. But, that's just one dive. The rest of the diving is typically a wall dive, and then after 20 minutes on the wall, then you ascend up to the plateau, where you spend the next, 30 to 40 minutes. And that's the typical dive profile. And, even though you go as deep as, 80 to 100, the average depth over the 25 dives was 47 feet with 2-hour surface intervals. So you can be very safe and do a lot of repetitive dives if you keep it in your average around 50 with 2-hour surface intervals. Have you found that to be the case?
Yeah, well, I mean, if you're diving to that depth, that would make sense for sure. I mean, and you could get a lot of bottom time that way, too. I'm not a big fan of the deep diving. I don't need to go down to 130 feet on my dives. I mean, sounds like that blue hole dive was just kind of a bounce and just didn't impress you too much, though, huh?
Yeah, and it's if you read the blogs, all you have to do is Google it and or go on, you know, the websites that we see the reviews, and pretty much the word is out that it's, you know, it's a bucket list dive, and you right. kind of check it off, and you certainly you don't need to go back there like some other places. But the rest of the diving's great. One thing that I really learned an appreciation for some reason, my sinuses were acting up.
Okay.
So somebody really hooked me up with Sudafed, and I discovered the joys of Sudafed. I mean, I want to be renamed Sudafed Phil.
Really?
Because that stuff, I mean, I was literally in pain, like almost like a dagger in the back of my eye, that kind of feel. Have you ever
yeah.
had that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And and then that was like by Wednesday, I started having serious problems, actually. Yeah. So I started taking, you know, 2 a.m, 2 p.m, and man, I'm never going to leave home without that for diving trips. That's for sure. I'm obviously not making a plug for Sudafed, but hey, if it works, it works. What can I tell you?
Well, you know, it's one of those personal decision things, if you ask me. I mean, they don't encourage people to do that, but look, you know, I know a lot of dive instructors, especially, that have to dive, you know, week in and week out, and if they mm-hmm. have some sinus issues. Really, Sudafed's the only thing that works. Now I think you got to get buy that over the counter. You have to go up to the pharmacist to get that stuff.
Yeah, you have to go and, you know, they have it behind a lock and key. And they even said it's hard to bring it into the country.
Yeah.
I'll find ways to bring that anywhere I'm diving because that stuff saved me.
Well, yeah, once again, we're not encouraging people to do this because this is one of those gray areas where you got to take
too.
Responsibility for yourself. You know yourself better than anyone, and it's not really, I don't know, it's not encouraged, I don't believe, in the dive community to take Sudafed
yeah.
because you could end up getting a reverse block. You're underwater and that stuff wears off. It could have other reactions
That's
and things
true.
Like that.
That's true. The Dan website does say that, actually.
Yeah, so it's one of those things where, you know, I know a lot of people do it, and maybe they should, maybe they shouldn't. You know,
but back to the diving. Yeah. Back to the diving.
Let's talk about that, yeah.
I got some great GoPro footage of octopus at night.
Nice.
In their feeding patterns, where they go from rock formation to rock formation, and they put their whole body around the rock, and then they start, you know, like sucking, I guess, on the inside to try to get food. And then when they find something, then their tentacles start feeding. Then they start feeding with the tentacles. And they're changing colors and they're moving around. I mean, if I put it on YouTube, I'll probably get a million hits. I mean, it was that good, and I'll send it to you, too.
Yeah, you know, those are some of the coolest critters to see underwater, whether it's daylight or nighttime. But, yeah, at night, I've seen that.
They do come out at night.
Yeah, I've seen
that. They do come out at night.
So they're actually like, covering an entire coral head,
yes.
and like spreading out like a
spreading
like a
out.
Umbrella kind
like,
of thing
like
or something.
They're casting a web.
Sorry,
like a net. They're casting a net.
Now, were they bothered by your presence at all? Or?
They were not. They were just carrying on. I think they were actually like hamming it up for the camera.
Really? Yeah.
I've had them act
both ways. Sometimes they've ignored me, and other times you can tell they're annoyed that I'm around them and trying to videotape them or whatever. And yeah. I guess it just depends on what kind of mood they're in that day, right?
Now, one other thing, we're talking about Belize. One thing that was a little disappointing, it was overall, Greg, mm-hmm. slightly less fishy than some other areas like Palau or the Maldives or Bali or some other places. It was a little less fishy. And I got to tell you, on some dives, I counted 10, 11, 12 lionfish.
Yeah.
And they're definitely there, and it was the policy of the boat, you know, not to hunt them, and the government has policies too. I think you can't, if you're a tourist, you can't. So you know, they're hoping for that. They're kind of letting it go and hoping for the best, but I don't think it's faring very well.
Yes, well, it's not getting any better, that's for sure. And I think, you know, the key is more and more countries are allowing the divers to take the lionfish because they know they're a problem. However, from an operator standpoint, maybe
yes.
you know this down in West Palm Beach even, Phil, there's some liability issues if you have your passengers going out there and going after the lionfish, especially on a liveaboard boat. If the eels or the sharks or something get more, you know, excited because you're spear and lionfish, and then all of a sudden somebody gets hurt, then you got a whole nother liability issue on your hands.
It adds a dimension of the danger. If you're just going down and looking, and obviously there's a lot less things that are going wrong, but if you're literally, you know, spearing aquatic life, you know, it adds a dimension of danger. There's no doubt about it.
Yes, danger, excitement, adrenaline, but man, are they tasty.
Woo,
buddy. Those lionfish are a great complement to lobster. You hear what I'm saying? That's the ultimate dinner, lionfish and lobster, as far as I'm concerned.
I've been a vegetarian and a vegan now for 4 years, so you're probably talking to the wrong person.
Okay.
But
I was going to say,
I used to like it.
I thought he was going to say, and that even is potentially changing my outlook on eating seafood, but not so much. All right, well, hold on. We got West Palm Beach Phil. We're going to talk more about Belize and much more next on the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
For over 20 years, Explorer Ventures has been taking people just like you aboard their liveaboard dive vessels. You start as a guest and leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explorer Ventures, and just maybe why Explorer Ventures is one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. Of course, they offer spectacular diving in the Bahamas, Turks and Caicos, and Galapagos. All the details are right there at ExplorerVentures.com. But it's the people and the friendships one makes on these adventures that really sets Explorer Ventures apart from the rest. That's why we've made Explorer Ventures the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. Matter of fact, we'll be on several trips throughout the year, and we'd love for you to join us on any of these great diving adventures. However, the bottom line is, Explorer Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. Call them and see for yourself at 1-800-322-3577 or visit ExplorerVentures.com. That's ExplorerVentures.com.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
Deepwater Cay in the Bahamas has been a bone fishing paradise for over 50 years. However, what has been bringing world-class anglers and Hollywood stars to this private island paradise is also quite impressive underwater. So after a multi-million dollar renovation, Deepwater Cay now offers scuba diving to their long list of water sport activities. It's an all-inclusive out-island experience with unspoiled diving, easy access to the States, and exceptional food and accommodations. Treat yourself like the star you are at Deepwater Cay. Go to deepwaterkay.com.
Scuba Radio. Scuba Radio.
Prepare to rig for dive.
Your surface interval is complete. You are now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
Hi, I'm Captain Slate from Captain Slate's Atlantis Dive Center in Key Largo, Florida, and you're listening to my good buddy and dive pal, Greg the Dive Master, from the world's first radio show devoted to diving,
Scuba Radio.
Scuba.
Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
I love it.
Yeah, it's Captain Slate. We'll see him next week in Vegas, I have no doubt, and I'm sure you'll hear him right here on the big show that we do from the show floor. However, I'm talking to West Palm Beach Phil right now, who just got back from Belize. And all right, so lionfish, not your thing. Well, I guess you're just not a meat eater. But you don't like seeing lionfish underwater, and you saw a few there in Belize. And honestly, it's no different than any other place. They're just taken all over. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, well, I mean, we saw them on every dive. You know, I was counting 10, 11, 12 lionfish on one dive, and they're big.
Yeah, big
and,
boys.
You know, here in West Palm Beach, the drift dive capital of the world, we take our lion tamers on every dive, and wherever we see them, we take care of it on the spot. We eliminate them.
You slay them, and do you clean them? Because if you would slam and clean them, then you could send them to me. I really don't want to clean them. But if you do that and you're not going to eat them, you ought to send them to me because I'll eat them.
The eels, you know what? The eels take care of it before we have a chance to send them to you. So, yeah, it's all good. Speaking of eels, I saw there was a lot of free swimming eels in Belize that, you know, usually where I see eels, they're usually in their holes. And here in Belize, they were free swimming. And I even have video of one that swam up to me curiously and non-aggressively, but he bumped right into my GoPro.
Interesting.
And it was just so cool. And I'll send you that video as well. I got to get a YouTube page started with this stuff because there's some between the octopus, the free swimming eel, and trying to eat my camera. There was some pretty cool stuff that went on in Belize.
Oh, that sounds like fun. Yeah. So the eel came and what did he see? His reflection maybe in your camera, or he just kind of bumped into it by accident? Or do you know?
He kind of bumped. No, he bumped into it like he was trying to smell it, like something like that, like a motion like that.
Yes. Now I've played with some eels actually on our last liveaboard trip down in I think it was in St. Kitts at the time, and I had a big green moray up under the ledge of this wreck, and I had it on a pole cam. And so I wasn't shy about sticking the camera right up there by him. And sure enough, he looked at that thing and, you know, started primping the whole thing, you know, looking at it, thinking like, hey, baby, you want to go out? You know, I don't know what he was thinking, but he was getting right up in there and I'm getting video right down his throat. It's pretty amazing what you can do with those GoPros.
He was hamming it up for the camera.
Exactly. Yeah. So when he did your thing, was it on a pole cam or was it just on your hand?
It was literally on my hand, which was kind of the freaky part. You know?
That would not be as, relaxing as that experience was when I was playing.
But overall, you know, it's a lot like if I had to compare Belize diving, Greg, it reminds me a lot like Cayman and Grand Cayman, where you have the walls, not so much sheer walls, where you have the wall and then you have the plateau and you have where they have the, you know, the coral village. But there's also a lot of what they call like a spur and groove system where you can swim. They're not swim throughs, but there's like in the walls, you can swim up in between these cuts, and that makes them for some very interesting scenery, as you can imagine.
Yeah, the finger crevices there. They finger go back crevices. Up to shore and stuff. Yeah, fairly common for that part of the world to have that type of dive profile. What's nice about it, if they are all the same, you kind of get used to the routine, and it sounds like that's what you did, right?
That's what it was. It was you know, it was eat, sleep, and dive. And, you know, I don't want to say they got repetitive, but it was a similar profile.
Yeah.
And because we love diving, it's just we're in heaven every day. We're doing that. And it was fantastic. So it's it was a great experience.
Well, it makes it more comfortable in the routine. You get used to the planning. You don't have to worry about so much, hey, where the boat is every time, or everybody kind of knows what the general plan is going to be for every dive.
Yeah, and that's the other thing, you know, with you know, I love drift diving because that's where we live here, and it's good for skills. But the one thing I've learned now that drift diving doesn't give you is it doesn't make you hone your skills on navigation. But when you're doing a boat mooring dive, you know, you do have to pay more attention to your navigation. So I feel like I came out a better diver from this trip just by having to pay attention to my navigation. So that's one good thing that happened.
Well, that's true. In West Palm Beach, where you're doing all these drift dives, you're never lost if you don't lose the dive flag.
Right.
You know,
right.
So that's kind of a nice way to be. I've always liked that too. But yeah, you got to be on your toes sometimes, especially if the viz is down a little bit, and you know, be able to work your compass a little bit. So that's always good to know that. But having that similar profile probably kept that in check for you too. Now the visibility outside of the blue hole, you said the blue hole was only like 30-40 feet.
Yeah, it was like 30 feet.
But outside there, and Belize is known for some pretty good visibility. Do you have good viz out on the reef
or
what?
I'm looking through my logbook now, and it was on the bad side. With a quotation around bad, it was 60 feet. And then I've got some dives here, 80 to 100 feet.
Nice.
And well, so it was, you know, it was positive. It was wonderful.
You know, last week on the show, I was talking to Pete from Scuba Board, and we were talking about cave diving. And it sounds to me that you kind of fall into the category of what I was telling Pete, which was I have nothing against cave diving, I bring up cave diving because the way you describe the blue hole is how I kind of look at cave diving. It's kind of cool to mark off the, you know, list to dive down into the springs, and especially that first time experience. experience is pretty cool, but it doesn't really change much after that first time. They're like that all the time, and I kind of like that sense of not knowing what's going to happen next. That's one of the reasons, too, I guess, why I am a big fan of drift diving, because you never know what you might cruise into or float by.
Sure.
Is that kind of how you felt about the Blue Hole, being as popular as it is, but it just didn't really tickle your fancy in that sense so much?
Yeah, you know, it was a bounce dive, and from what I had read, people had said it's kind of overrated, and it was just like just how it happened. Just didn't see much. You saw a couple stalagmites, stalactites, at about 120, and we stayed in a group. Oh, one thing though, I've never really felt the full brunt of narcosis. And I always thought, and I always, because I'd done, you know, deep specialty with Patty, and I always thought that I was kind of a little immune to it.
Yeah.
And they say, well, that's the first sign of being narked, is saying you don't get narked.
Yeah, okay.
And I'd forgotten, I knew it was narked because I was about 136, and my deep alarm went off. And it's something I'd never heard before, because I don't usually go deep.
Yeah.
And it was like a strange sound I'd never heard. I thought I was literally in another dimension or another planet because of the chime. The chime really threw me off.
Was it like ooga ooga?
Something like
some
that.
Strange noise that you knew that can't be my dive kombutra.
I was definitely narked. So you know, it's just like the Blue Hole. You tried it. Now I know what being narked feels like. So it's the complete experience.
It's just weird noises, and I don't know, the fish didn't start talking to you though, did they, or did they?
Well, yeah, those are the ones I made friends with.
And he can do this because he's a vegetarian, and they know he won't eat them.
There you go. See you in Vegas.
Yeah, absolutely.
You guys might not know this, but I tend to think of myself as a one-man wolf pack.
More coming up on the world's first radio show devoted to diving. This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. You know, next week we're in Las Vegas, and I have been told what we have someone standing by on the phone. I'm not sure I should take it, but here it goes anyway. Hi, you're on the air. Who's this? What is that noise?
Hey, hello?
That was. Yeah.
Greg the Dive Master?
Scuba Radio Drunken Santa.
Hey,
right.
Yes,
okay.
It's Merry Christmas time, almost.
Yeah, evidently. I see you got your jingle bells out there.
It's time to spread holiday cheer.
Well, it's really
and
not...
And raise the spirit.
It's not even Thanksgiving yet there, Santa, so what is the point? I mean, what are you doing?
Ho, 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 and it'll be here before you know.
Okay. Well, we got a little trip to Vegas next week for the DEMA show. You're not going to show up there, are you?
Listen to me, Greg.
Yeah.
Santa knows if you've been naughty or nice.
Right.
So just know that what happens in Vegas is spread all over the internet.
Oh, okay. You're going to have eyes out. You're going to be watching us.
I have eyes and ears on the ground.
Okay.
And in the sky.
In the gutter, more or less, I think, is appropriate in your case, but... Yeah, you know, that's just part of the MO for Scuba Radio Drunken Santa.
Well, you can cut that out later.
Yeah, okay. Well, I guess, you know, we are getting close to that time of year. You know, Thanksgiving is next week, so...
Listen, I think you should do something and tell them to give the gift of scuba diving.
Of course. All right, so that's...
Put a tank in your under the tree, or I'm sure that people need new wetsuits.
Okay, yeah, put a tank in your stocking and give that to the buddy on your dive list for
or
the holidays.
Go early and give it to him for Thanksgiving.
Oh, of course. There you go.
See, that is all about all the holidays.
Yes, yeah, unfortunately.
Not just Christmas.
All right, Santa. Well, happy holidays to you, and we'll talk to you soon enough, I guess.
Hey, Greg?
Yeah.
Ho, ho, ho. bubbles we will blow.
Okay. More coming up after Dan Tip on the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network. Scuba Radio, Divers Consumer Tip number 18. Guys, moray eels find it terribly offensive to be compared to your manhood.
Don't be talking about me, man.
Besides, the reality is that 98% of us are more comparable to the lowly glowworm.
I heard that.
Not me, of course.
You crazy. Who told you that?
But there's no need for me to brag here.
They telling you lies.
So now, here's a Dan safety tip you can really use.
And yes, that means it's time for the real Dan Good Diving safety tip. And here with us today, Nick Bird, CEO and Chief Medical Officer for Divers Alert Network. How's it going, Nick?
It's all good, Greg. It's always a pleasure to be here.
Well, glad to hear it. I got a question for you.
Ask away.
If you had to pick one thing that bothers you as divers gain experience, what would it be?
That's a great question. I have to say one thing I've observed that concerns me a great deal is the fact that as many divers gain experience and confidence, they get complacent about doing pre-dive safety checks.
You know, me too. It actually really bugs me.
And rightfully so. Sometimes as divers get more dives and confidence under their belt, some of the safety basics seem to go out the door. But those basics are in place for a reason. You never outgrow them. They're always a good idea.
Why are pre-dive safety checks specifically a good idea?
They're a great chance to finalize the dive plan with your buddy. It's a time to make sure that you are, in fact, planning to do the same dive, as well as to review communication signals, safety protocols, and any other dive plan you have in place. It's also always a good idea to check your gear and your buddy's gear before descending. As a depth, it's no time to try to familiarize yourself with gear or determine whether your air's on.
I wish I could say I've never seen that one. Since we think this is a practice every diver should follow, why don't we go ahead and review some of these steps?
It's a great idea. The first step to a pre-dive safety check takes place before you even don your gear. Have a conversation with your buddy. Make sure you both agree on the dive you're doing, the profile you're going to follow, the communication signals you're going to use, and what plan you'll follow if a problem occurs. Make sure it's clear how the dive will be navigated, how you plan to deal with any potential obstacles.
Like currents or low visibility.
Right! And discuss anything else that comes to mind. Remember that even the closest and most experienced buddies aren't mind readers. So be sure to ask the questions or clarify anything unclear to you. Never assume.
That's good advice. I know when you've got a buddy you dive with all the time, it's easy to fall into assumption patterns.
It is. And we've all been guilty of it. That's why it's so important to make a concerted effort not to get complacent.
Okay, once you've mapped out everything you can out of the water, it's time to don your gear, which means it's time for the classic BWRAF.
Yep, that's a familiar one. But whatever acronym you use, the points to hit are the same.
Such as the BCD?
Such as the BCD. You want to ensure you're familiar with your buddy's BCD and releases, and that he or she is familiar with yours. In the event that you have to dump weights or remove gear from them, time can be critical, and you don't want to be exploring the gear in an emergency situation. Don't forget to include a check of the inflator hose at this stage, and give it a test by inflating it both orally and via the low-pressure inflator.
Weights.
Again, be familiar with your buddy's weight system, and share yours with them. So if weight has to be released quickly, it is. Also, if you or your buddy are unsure of whether you have the right amount of weight, it's a good time to do a quick buoyancy check.
Okay, we got R for releases.
Yep, and we're not talking about the releases you have to sign. This is the time to ensure you know where all the releases are and that all of them are secure. It's always an interesting experience watching the dance that ensues when one diver tries to resecure the tank of another underwater.
Speaking of tanks, I believe A is for air.
It is. And some might call this the most important step, since you're not going far unless your air is on and your tank is full. Double check the air each of you is carrying and make sure those tank valves are open, and don't forget to take a few breaths to ensure your regulator is functioning properly.
And with the F comes the final okay.
This is when you are good to go. Give each other one more look and check for dangling hoses, missing equipment, or anything else that hasn't been checked. Once you give each other the final okay, you're indicating you're ready to go dive.
So simple.
It is simple, but it's also really important. A thorough pre-dive safety check is a great way to prevent problems. Like so many other situations in diving, a lot of the trouble can be avoided with a little preparation.
Pre-dive safety checks are taught during entry-level training for a reason. They're a cornerstone of good diving practices, and they're a habit you should never break. Experience is never a replacement for good sense, and pre-dive safety checks are definitely good sense. So complete one before every dive, whether it's your first dive or your thousandth. Do that, and you're guaranteed damn good diving.
That was beautiful.
Only you can prevent diving accidents. Divers Alert Network is your dive safety organization. With your support, Dan will continue to provide the research, service, and benefits to make your next dive a safe dive. So don't be a dinghy. Join Dan today by calling 1-800-446-2671.
We are back here on the world's first radio show devoted to diving. And, you know, we are connected via the web, not with just one, but literally three more folks right now. First off, I got Barry, our South Florida superfan. Barry, check in and say hi.
Howdy.
And then, of course, we have Jerry the Diver Guy all the way up from Virginia because, you know, the official season or new season of Moonshiners has just kicked off on the Discovery Channel. So I figured that was a good enough excuse to have Jerry the Diver Guy on Scuba Radio today. Jerry, how are you?
Doing good, doing good.
All right, all right. And then, of course, we got Jimmy the Bubble Boy. How are you, man?
Pretty good, Greg.
All right, cool. So we got a full crew here with us, and we got everyone in here because we have to start making plans. Now, we're getting ready for the DEMA show next week, but as soon as we get back, we have, you know, the holidays. It's going to be Thanksgiving, and we have to plan our Scuba Radio Christmas Crapstravaganza. And, you know, Scuba Radio Drunken Santa was just saying how he was going to, you know, catch me or keep an eye on me in Vegas. But I know we're going to have him part of this mix, unfortunately. So I wanted to get the crew together and figure out what we need to do to prepare and, you know, schedule our Scuba Radio Scuba Cruise. First of all, to you, Barry, I'm thinking that maybe a good event to go down and maybe do some diving might be around the Winterfest Boat Parade in Fort Lauderdale, right there in your neck of the woods. What do you think?
Oh, absolutely. A lot of people go out on Jeff's boat. They'll go diving in the morning or early afternoon, then set up for the parade in the evening.
Yes, so that'd be South Florida Diving Headquarters he's talking about there. And maybe go dive the Aqua Zoo on Saturday afternoon. Saturday evening, we get the Winterfest Boat Parade. And it's like the largest boat parade in the world, is it not?
I believe it is. It's also the most fun.
It is the most fun. And he has some, he has some plans for this year's boat parade. They actually, he may be leading it off, believe it or not, and has invited us down. And I know, Jerry, you have somebody that you want to bring down from Virginia and get them certified to dive. And you were thinking that might be a good weekend to do so, which, by the way, I believe is December 13th, that Saturday. Is that right, Jerry? Isn't that what you were telling me earlier today?
That's right.
That's right. So,
which any weekend in Florida is good.
Well, compared to where you're at, I'm guessing for sure this weekend, right?
Well, these 30 degree temperatures suck.
Okay, I hear what you're saying, my friend. So, yeah, you know, you were thinking that coming down for the Winterfest Boat Parade and doing this guy's checkout dives, is that what it is, or is he getting another certification that you're teaching him on? What are you doing?
I've got to finish a referral for him.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then we're going straight into his advanced class. And somewhere or another mixed all the hoopla, we've got to do a rescue diver class with him.
Okay. So you got to do a referral to finish off his open water class.
Yep.
And then you're going right into advanced and then right into rescue diver.
Yep.
That's a lot of diving, dude, isn't it?
Well, it's quite a bit.
Yeah, I mean, that's what
you got a short amount of time.
Well, you got to do four open water dives for the open water certification, and then you got to do four more or five more for the advanced, don't you?
Yep. But on the open water, we only have two. Ha ha.
You only have to do two. Oh, it's because he already did a couple already.
Yep.
Oh, okay.
He's been to Cancun, and undoubtedly they could not finish him. So
I see. All right.
So we've got all his pool work done, mm-hmm. and one of his, I think a fourth dive or a third dive, I can't remember now, but
yeah,
we only like one dive with him. So
okay, so he is, he wants to go right through rescue diver. Was this his choice, or is this what you've been encouraging him to do?
I encourage.
Yeah. Well, the more training he gets, the better.
If Benjamin talks, I'll encourage.
Well, the more diving he does, the better and, you know, more capable he'll be.
Makes you safer.
Yeah, exactly. All right. And I guess we got to be careful, though. If you're doing some real training and working with this guy as a scuba diving instructor, you can't really mix up the whole party part of this weekend. You got to make sure you take care of business, and then you can unwind maybe on the boat at the Winterfest Boat Parade and do something like that. You think?
Oh yeah. You know, we'll have fun during the day, then we'll have more fun at night.
Yeah, and then, I don't know, what are you staying up with the Moonshiner show? Have you been watching it?
Yeah, I mean, you know.
You're in it. Is that what you just said?
You have to stay on top of everything.
You got to know what your neighbors are doing, right?
Yes.
Okay, I gotcha. Yeah, Jerry has some connections. You know what I'm saying? And they're good connections. He turned us on to them last year, Dima. All right, more coming up. Stay close.
Scuba Radio. Would you like to talk diving? Greg the Dive Master's all toweled down and ready to take your call now. Call Scuba Radio at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
Hosting a radio show about scuba diving and boating is one of the best gigs on the planet. It's actually part of my job to check out and report on cool new products I personally use to enhance my diving and boating adventures. However, I do believe in sharing the joy, and this is why we've added Nanook protective hard cases to our list of products you can now purchase on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Nanook cases are designed to protect the most sensitive equipment in the harshest environments. Underwater photographers, listen up. From their high-impact NK7 resin to their exclusive power claw latches, Nanook has raised the bar for those of you that demand the best protection for your gear. Plus, Nanook protective cases cost less than similar products currently on the market. The company has been around for over 15 years, but it's new to the U.S., so we've made a small number of Nanook cases available exclusively for you at a special introductory price on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Go there now and check out Nanook. The evolution of protection.
I'm always the first to run low on air.
I'm adjusting my BCD all the time.
It feels that I spent half my dive swimming back to the dive boat and on the surface.
You can learn to improve your diving so that you can feel more confident with your skills and more comfortable in the water thanks to the Professional Association of Dive Instructors. Peak Performance Buoyancy and the Navigation Specialty Course are just a few of the many PADI offerings to consider. Visit PADI.com to find the PADI Dive Center nearest you. PADI, the way the world learns to dive.
If you like the show you are listening to right now, you can listen to it and many more just like it on Reno Viola Outdoors Radio. Fishing, hunting, boating, and the rest of the great outdoors, 24/7, 365 on Reno Viola Outdoors Radio. Download the free Reno Viola's Outdoor Radio app or visit WRVORadio.com online to see the lineup and schedule. That's Reno Viola Outdoors Radio. And enjoy the great outdoors.
Your surface interval is complete. You're now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
You know, I don't have to tell you folks about scuba diving. So that'll save some time.
I love all the fishies, all the sharkies too. When I see one come towards me, I swim like you. I love all the friends down there, hey, don't you know? There's a friend of mine, the very popular Jacques Cousteau.
Yes, you could dive with me. Maybe it'll be down in the Keys. It'll be down in South Florida for the Winterfest Boat Parade. That's what we're talking about right now with the crew that I have on via the web. Super fan Barry in South Florida, Jerry the Diver Guy who's in Virginia, and Jimmy the Bubble Boy who's just in his home. here in Orlando. But we got the full crew connected right now, talking about plans for right after DEMA. Because as soon as we get back, you know, it's going to be Thanksgiving. It's going to be the time to focus on our Scuba Radio Christmas Crap Extravaganza show. We have a Christmas play that we're going to be presenting once again. So you've been warned. And I'm guessing Scuba Radio Drunken Santa will show up during this time period as well. And you thought Black Friday was bad. You hear what I'm saying? This, it just doesn't get much worse than this, I guess. Does it, guys? Any thoughts?
No, Greg, that's Bloated Friday.
Okay. All right. It could be. That could be. All right. Well, we're talking about our plan. So, when, I don't know. What do you think, Jimmy the Bubble Boy? You want to go do a boat parade or you want to go down to the Keys and do some stuff down there like we did Christmas in the Keys last year?
Any thought? Last year there was an actual boat parade while we were in the Keys.
Right. But, much, much smaller, though, than the Winterfest boat parade. And you guys haven't been to that, have you? You haven't been to the one in Fort Lauderdale. That thing is huge. It's been several years since I've been down there for that one. And I'm thinking, I did talk to Jeff from South Florida Diving Headquarters today, and he was asking me some questions about it, and I think we might be able to pull something together. And if Jerry comes down from Virginia, does some checkout dives. Now, if you're doing some training, you could do it in Fort Lauderdale. You could go down to the Keys if you want. But I don't know, Fort Lauderdale would work for what you're doing. You just need some good open water diving for this guy to get his check on his open water advanced and rescue diver. Right, Jerry?
Yep. As long as we got water, I'm happy.
As long as you got water, you can make it work for him, is what you're saying. Okay, fair.
Even spring water would be better.
Spring water, well, in your case, I'm not so sure about that. You know, you brought some of that to DEMA in Orlando last year, and it wasn't for diving. But it pretty much made most of the people take a dive, you know, on the show floor or in the hotel room later on that night. And, you know,
it'll make you swim.
It'll make you do something, act like a fool, and have a good time with a big old smile on your face. And once again, if you don't know what we're talking about, just think of the TV show Moonshiners, okay? And you'll be good to go. All right, so I'm thinking if we went down there and did that, we would have to orchestrate a couple dives, get CJ, the Bubble Boy. I don't know, should we go out on your boat, Barry? You want to take your boat out there during Christmas this year, or is it going to be too rough, you think? What do you think?
Well, you never know. You have to look at the weather and see what it's going to be like. And it also, it's limited by number of people that can fit on the boat with their gear. So
yeah,
I can take three divers, four divers, and we may end up paddling back.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm thinking. We'd have to only take a couple people out. And I guess, yeah, we wouldn't be able to do it with Jerry diving. I'm thinking we'd put Jerry out on South Florida Diving Headquarters boat. And then me, Barry, and Jimmy the Bubble Boy, CJ, maybe we go down there and kind of tag along in your little boat if we can. If the weather is cooperative. That's the thing. This time of year, or, you know, the Thanksgiving, Christmas time of year, it can be great conditions, or we could have a cold front come in like it has this week down to Florida even, and cooled things down and made things a little iffy, depending on what your limitations are. I'm not so sure the conditions are bad for diving right now, but for a warm water wuss like myself, and you got a cold front that even comes down through Florida, it might be a little bit on the chilly side. You think, Barry?
It's not so much the cold, and it's not so much that it's going to be cold water because we do have the Gulf Stream.
It's shrinkage.
Oh. No, it's actually it's the waves.
Oh, okay, it's the waves.
You know,
right.
When the fronts come down and the mm-hmm. wind's blowing from the north, it just chews up the ocean out there. It gets too rough.
Okay.
And I know anything more than a 2-footer, and then you're out up chucking.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, if you're coming down from Virginia, Jerry, you still would have the option, if the winds were kind of blowing in South Florida, the Fort Lauderdale, Miami area, you could cruise down to the Keys, and you might be able to find some acceptable conditions down there. Or he could go inland and do one of the lakes if he was just doing a checkout dive, couldn't he, Barry? Isn't there a lake down there somewhere, too, he could do some diving?
There's a lake near Divers Direct that they use.
Well, there you go. So you could do that or go down to like Jules Undersea Lodge there in the protected area of Key Largo. And have you been down there, Jerry?
Oh, yeah. I've been there.
All right. So, you know, that's kind of a sheltered area people and dive instructors go when the weather's a little iffy in the open water.
You know, I could always bring a gallon of spring water. Weather's always fine. It'll keep you warm.
I would expect you bring that regardless. Well, I don't know. That sounds like another... I don't know if I finished off our Secret Santa giveaway from last year where there's some spring water that popped up in that round of giveaways. Or you know, our little... what do we call that thing? The white elephant trash thing or what? What was that? No one remembers.
Snuff? I don't know.
Too much alcohol.
Too much spring water has rotted our brains. But, it was a Dirty Santa type of thing. And basically everyone's stealing gifts. And one of the things that kept getting stolen was this bottle of spring water that was in a mason jar all the way down from Virginia. I mean, it was from the south side of the Florida state border. Right, Jerry?
Well, if you ain't dirty when you start with it, you will be when you're done.
Okay. I'm not sure what that means, but we got hour two of Scoop. Scuba Radio on deck. Don't go anywhere. Just getting started.
It's hotter under the water. Yeah, we have looked here down in the fire under the sea.
Scuba Radio. Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated. Scuba
Radio. This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the internet at scubaradio.com.
So we're in international waters?
Indeed so.
Tell a friend and buddy up with your radio every week for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Well, it's all very nice here, but we should be going. I miss me wife and me oxygen.
Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases. Let's go.
The opinions you just heard on Scuba Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
Okay, you know what I just heard? Blah, 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 blah.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
Come on, quit yanking me.
Scuba diving does involve risk and should never be conducted without proper instruction and training.
Oh, what's the worst thing that could happen?
I could die.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at scubaradio.com.